Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. New wolves were introduced to Isle Royal National Park recently, and we're going to check in with our next guest to see how they're doing. With us today, Mark Romanowski. He is a U.S. National Park Service biologist, chief natural resources manager for Isle Royals National Park in Lake Superior. Mark's been coordinating the program and will talk with us about why it was decided to bring more wolves in and what it means for the rest of the island. So what would you like to know about the wolf-moose relationship on Isle Royal? Have you visited the island? Join in our conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Mark Romanowski, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thank you, Larry. The honor is all mine. I'm originally from Wisconsin, so I grew up listening to your program, and I'm just happy to be here, and thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, how'd you get involved in doing research on Isle Royal?
Well, I'm a Pointer alum, and at the end of my junior year, I was looking into opportunities to help my career along, and one of them was Isle Royal, and by luck, I ended up there as a volunteer, and in some way, shape, or form, I've been able to stick around, and they haven't kicked me off yet, so that's good.
So that's been a while, a couple of years, for sure.
Yeah, 24 years in total.
Oh, man. Well, tell us what's been happening to the wolf moose population, and give us a little history the last decade or so.
Yeah, sure. So I understand that you guys spoke with Dave Meach previously, and he gave you the long-term history on Isle Royal, the 60-plus year history of the study. In the past 10 years or so, we've experienced a decline in our wolf population due primarily to two events, one long-standing inbreeding in the population. It's an island, and so wolves cannot access Isle Royal easily. And so over time, the population dwindled, and we ended up with, you know, a single pack of wolves, or if you can call them a pack, it was a father and a daughter who were also half siblings, meaning they shared the same mother. So they were highly inbred. And then preceding that, we were down to roughly 10 or 12 individuals and had what we call a stochastic or random event, where alpha pair died, and then things just kind of fell apart from there and ended up with only two wolves by 2016 or so, if I have my facts correct. And that prompted the Park Service to begin planning on whether or not to put wolves back into the ecosystem.
Yeah, because that had an impact, I would expect, on the moose population. The fact that we lost so many wolves.
Correct. You know, with the reduction in wolves, of course, there was a reduction in the amount of predation that was occurring on that population. And while wolves are not, you know, necessarily a primary regulatory factor that influences that population, they certainly can be, depending on a lot of different circumstances. You know, the Park Service's primary concern was that we were able to maintain the integrity of our forest communities. So, you know, with decades of moose browse, you know, we have some forest resources that are at jeopardy. And our responsibility as a land manager is not only to protect the wildlife, but the vegetation as well.
Yeah.
And so that was, of course, related to our decision to ultimately put wolves back into the system.
Yeah. And, you know, some people may not be aware of the island itself, and maybe just describe it for our listeners a bit.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to do that. So Isle Royal is roughly 210 square miles or 134,000 acres. It's 9 miles wide at its widest and roughly 50 miles long. It is situated off the north shore. In Lake Superior, off the North Shore of Minnesota, which is closest, even though jurisdiction belongs to Michigan. And then, of course, the Park Service runs it as a national park. It's in Michigan boundaries. And the island is composed of two primary forest types, one of them being like a northern hardwood forest, which has sugar maple and yellow birch, and the other one is more boreal in nature, and so balsam fir and white birch, and it transitions from the southwest end to the northeast end, hardwood to boreal. And of course, we have wolves and moose and beaver and fox, American marten, and we're a national park, so we have visitors coming from all over the world, primarily the Midwest. Annually, we get about, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 visitors that come to the island.
That's quite a few, actually.
It is quite a few in the short. We're only open 6 months, so it is quite a few in the short period that we're open.
Yeah, Mark Romanowski, our guest today. Questions for him, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk about the sort of the decision-making process then. You talk about bringing wolves in. Were there some objections to it or not?
Yeah, certainly, just like with everything in the world, everybody has their thoughts on how things should go. But, you know, as a federal agency, we're required to have a discussion with the public about our decisions and the science behind them and our policies related to them. And that's through a formal process where we do an environmental analysis and we outline feasible alternatives to address the issue at hand. In this case, you know, whether or not to put wolves back into the Isle Royale ecosystem. And so we initiated that process in 2015 and completed it in 2018. And then from there, we jumped right into implementation once we, you know, had that dialogue with the public and let them know what our decision was, which obviously, you know, we decided to introduce wolves and our plan is to put 20 to 30 wolves in over a 3 to 5 year period, allowing ourselves some flexibility to adjust to what happens on the ground. Because as you can imagine, you know, it's a very dynamic thing when you're dealing with wildlife, you know, that you don't get to tell them what to do. They choose what to do on their own. So, yeah.
So so you had to capture wolves then, I assume, and bring them. And I think they came from various states, did they not?
They did. So the plan was to bring a genetically diverse population to the island. And so we needed to partner with states in the region, Michigan and Minnesota. And we also partnered with Ontario and the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. And the intent behind that was to bring a diverse genetic population, as well as a population that is used to different prey sources. As you know, we only have moose in Isle Royale, so we want to make sure that a contingent of our wolf population has experience with moose so they can pass that on. And, of course, the northeastern Minnesota and the Ontario wolves would certainly have that experience.
Yeah, for sure. Mac, who is in Arizona, has a question. Mac, hello.
I have heard before and today about the inbreeding problem that is very hard on the wolves, and I wonder why the same issue doesn't apply to the moose over time.
Good question. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll do my best to answer it, and hopefully I get it right. But herbivores like moose or white-tailed deer, your previous guest was talking about deer hunting, they're able to breed much more quickly and in greater numbers. And so the chances of them going through a bottleneck, you know, a great reduction in population and therefore constraining their genetics through time is much, much less. And so their numbers on the landscape are able to be retained through time. I hope that answers it and is as good as I can do. And hopefully,
yeah. How many moose exist on Isle Royale?
Yeah, through the course of time, we've had as many the estimates. And again, this isn't like a count of every single moose, but it's an estimate. We've had anywhere from upwards of 2,500 down to like 500. And so it's pretty dramatic in terms of that swing. And of course, as you can imagine, the different levels of moose equates to different levels of degradation of forest resources as they munch their way through the ecosystem.
Protocol, there had to be some sort of protocols established. You certainly were looking at different areas for capturing and handling the wolves, but what kinds of protocols for handling and capture did you develop?
Yeah, so we had to work with the states that were involved, so Michigan and Minnesota, and follow their protocols that they normally have for wolf capture. And then the Park Service had to develop protocols for translocation, i.e. moving the wolves to the island. And then similar with Ontario, you know, we work under their protocols because in all instances, you know, they have jurisdiction for the wolves that are in their backyard. And once they come within our possession and go to Aurora, then they become our jurisdiction. So the capture protocols were developed by the states or the province or the Ontario, and then translocation protocols were Park Service. And of course, all of them got professional review by the processes that are in place for each entity.
Yeah, it would
like
have
a veterinarian
be...
review, or you know, if you will. So
yeah, that makes sense as well. And how did it go in terms of, did you lose any in the process of transporting and capture and transport?
We did, yeah. We did have one mortality associated with anesthesia, an adverse reaction to anesthesia, and an additional one that was associated with a trap wound. But otherwise, the rest of the wolves, we translocated 19 in total. The rest of them went to the island fine.
Okay. Mark Romanowski, our guest today, U.S. Natural Park Service biologist, chief natural resources manager for the Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior. Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Joe and Baraboo will get to you. But first, we need to take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Mark's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. But stay with us. We'll be back right after this look at the news. I'm Larry Mueller. So nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We've been talking about the balance of moose and wolves on Isle Royale National Park with our guest, Mark Romanowski. He's the U.S. National Park Service biologist and chief natural resources manager for Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior. So it's great to have him with us. And you may be interested in how wolves and moose interact. I hope you'll join in with your questions about the wolves or lack of wolves and what it did to the island. Love to hear from you. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And we've gotten, Mark, a number of emails and some callers who couldn't hang on but left messages. Dave in Lac des Flambeaux emailed that he's been to the island over 10 times. It's one of their most favorite places on the planet. He's wondering if you could comment on where the new wolf packs are settling in on the island.
Sure, yeah. So we think we have... Well, we know we have at least two wolf packs. That's based on our GPS collar data as well as observations from cameras. And we're picking up scat along the way as we're out doing field work. And genetics will tell us some information based on those samples. But, yeah, we have two wolf packs and possibly an additional third pack that we'll need further confirmation on. But one of them, the island is 50 miles long, and I described the forest type earlier, but the northeast end is more boreal, and we have a pack in that area. And then at the southwest end, we have a pack, and in the middle is a large lake called Siskiwit Lake, and that kind of divides the two packs that we know about. And the third pack may be on the southern margin of Siskiwit Lake. So, but again, we'll need more confirmation on that before we can call them a pack, so to speak.
Yeah, and that if it is a pack, that's a small pack, isn't that a couple of animals?
Yeah, we would think that we think that's only a couple of animals, correct?
Yeah, Stan in De Pere has a question. Stan, hi.
Yeah, hi. Two quick questions. If your guest could pick any month to visit Isle Royale, what month would you suggest that I come? And then also, what is the target number, or what is the ideal number of wolves and moose on the island?
Okay, great questions. I always say September. September is just phenomenal out there. The bugs have gone away. You still have some warm weather, and the water is warm enough. If you're brave enough, you can swim in Lake Superior. So, and of course, the colors start at the later part of the month. So I always say September. And then ideal numbers, it's a little bit of a tricky question. You know, we say in our planning that we want to put in 20 to 30 wolves, and that's based on the long-term average for wolves, which is around 22. But we also want to see 3 to 4 packs, and we also want to see reproduction in each of those packs. And then we want to see them predating upon moose like we have in the past. So those are also some metrics that we are gauging our success upon. For moose, we want it sort of in the historical bracket, but towards the lower end because, again, we have concern for our forest resources out there.
Yeah, there you go, Stan. Thank you so much. Steve in Madison, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Just a question I have would be the wolves and the other wildlife be able to cross the Lake Superior ice pack and from Ontario or Minnesota? Does that ever happen where they cross onto the island and then when of course, the ice melts, they're stuck there? Does that happen?
Yeah, we have documented wolves crossing to Isle Royale. There's just a few instances where we've documented that, and then one instance where we didn't know about it until after the fact, and it showed up in the genetic data in research with our partners. But yes, it does happen. It's quite infrequent. I'm not aware of other animals crossing the ice, although I would imagine that fox could certainly do it. Moose don't particularly like to be on ice because it's unstable for them with their hooves. So we think that moose either swam to Isle Royale or were brought to Isle Royale way back when. So yeah, it definitely happens. Most recently, we had a wolf leave Isle Royale, and one of the wolves that we translocated left Isle Royale and went back to where she was captured for a brief period and then spent the next year and a half running around northeastern Minnesota and Ontario, just north of the border there. So yeah. And then before that, in 2015, we had a 2 or possibly 3 wolves cross onto Isle Royale and then leave before the ice left. So they were there just a few short days. So it does happen, but it's infrequent.
No, there you go, Steve. Join in too at 800-642-1234. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Joe in Baraboo had called in and couldn't hang on, but he visited 2 years ago Isle Royale, and it was beautiful, but it was difficult to find trails because of the lack of signage, and he wondered about signage.
Yeah, so we have 165 miles of trail. Some of them are walked more than others, and so I'm sure that contributed to Joe's experience. And additionally, we're a wilderness area, and so one of the principles behind wilderness is to sort of reduce the impacts of man, and that includes signage. And so we always recommend bring a map and bring a compass. But we do have signs at each of our trail junctions. So.
All right. And let's see. Gary called to ask if a moose hunt was ever considered on the island to remove excess moose.
Yeah, so in general, for most National Park Service units, hunting is prohibited, meaning not allowed, unless it is established in the enabling legislation. So in the case of Isle Royal, moose or hunting in general, whatever it would be, would not be allowed because it wasn't in the enabling legislation of the park.
So
it wasn't considered as a solution.
Jay in Washburn has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Mark. Good to hear you on the radio. I was going to just ask you to talk a little bit about the history of caribou on the island. They were there historically, as far as I know. Do they ever overlap with moose? And I don't expect you'll ever see them on the island again, but just wanted you to talk a little bit about that, since a lot of people probably don't know that history.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mark?
Yeah, hey, Jay, good to hear your voice. So originally, caribou were on Isle Royal. We find them in our archaeological record where we've done, you know, that type of survey. They were on Isle Royal up until about 1926, 28, somewhere in there. They were hunted out of Isle Royal, and so... And right around 1909 or 1910 is when we thought moose established themselves on Isle Royal. So there would have been a short overlap period there. In addition to caribou, we used to have lynx on Isle Royal. They were trapped out. So moose and wolves, in terms of, you know, let's just call it geologic time, is a relative newcomer to Isle Royal. Whereas we used to have caribou. And, of course, all these changes are a reflection of the grander changes that have occurred in North America through time, as, you know, European settlement and all the changes that came with that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Ian in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Ian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Say, and you might have just answered this, but I had a quick question and a comment. The question was, do we know genetically, have we dated how long exactly the moose have been on the island? And then second of all, I was out there hiking about 10 years ago, and the very first day we flew in on the southwestern portion of the island, we saw a fox in the campsite, and I was wondering how common that was up there.
Yeah, so related to moose genetics, we don't have that data that, you know, we could say how many generations of moose are there. When we say 1909, we're going by, or 1910 area, we're going by historical record. But we are looking into moose genetics as part of this broader sort of ecosystem level research around the wolf introduction program. And fox are scattered throughout the island, and they're commonly seen in campgrounds because they're kind of a campground pest. And if you leave your boot on the table or whatever, it may disappear because a fox would have found it. But yeah, they're distributed throughout the island, and they do focus on visitors because they're hoping to get a free meal. And of course, we discourage that. We don't want to feed foxes, but often you'll have encounters in the campground.
Thanks, Ian. Tom in Janesville, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Well, soon I guess it is now. I know that the Apostle Islands have a lot of black bears on them, but they're closer to land. Are there any bears on Isle Royal, or have there ever been?
There are not bears on Isle Royal. And, you know, supposedly I've been educated in this field, and it took me a while to figure it out. But if bears are hibernating in the wintertime, and that would really be the only time they could access Isle Royal. They could swim that distance, I think, but it hasn't happened as of yet, and I think it would be a long swim for a bear. And as Tom pointed out, Apostle Islands are much closer to the mainland, and so they can easily make that swim and come and go from Apostle Islands if they choose.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Wendell in Marinette, your turn. Hi, Wendell.
Hi there. I'd like to ask if the winter study is going to change at all or continue as it has been with the new introductions now.
Yeah, great question. So the Park Service has partnered since its inception with, I'll call it the Winter Study Program because that's what Wendell called it. It used to be located in Purdue University and for the last several decades at Michigan Technological University. And the Park Service is going to maintain that partnership to continue to focus on moose and wolves and predator-prey relationships, which is what Michigan Technological University is interested in. And we're also expanding our research with other universities such as SUNY ESF, and as well as University of Wisconsin-Madison and Dr. John Pauly there, and we're looking at foxes and marten and how putting wolves back into the system is going to affect these meso carnivores.
Interesting. Wendell, thank you so much. Ryan in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Ryan.
Hey there, Mark and Larry. Hey there.
Hi.
I have a question for you, Mark. I was wondering if this kind of opens the gates for introducing other animals such as martens and maybe even other vegetation.
You know, I don't know that it opens the gates, so to speak. You know, every natural resource problem comes with its own intricacies and really requires its own detailed analysis to determine, you know, how best to handle the situation at hand. You know, the Park Service in different units has looked at introducing animals, you know, for different reasons, the primary reason being, you know, restoring something to the ecosystem that has been lost. And of course, we do revegetate, you know, based on whatever the needs might be. So I don't know that opens the door, but I would say the door is never closed, and you always just sort of take each issue at hand and look at the details within that issue and talk with the public, and then, you know, the agency makes its decision on the best way forward.
Ryan, thank you so much. Yeah, it was a great question. You can join in, too, with your questions at 800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Joe in Wausau called to ask if the wolves kill pups from other packs on the island.
We have not documented the killing of pups directly, at least recently, maybe historically, but I don't remember an instance. You know, when wolves have pups, they tend to keep them pretty central in their territories. And only when the wolves are big enough do they sort of expand out into the margins of their territories. But certainly wolves do kill other wolves. And that has been, you know, a leading factor in mortality on Isle Royale since wolves have been there. And even also including during this introduction period where we've experienced four confirmed and possibly a fifth mortality associated with other wolves.
Mm. And you had, let's see, you took 20 over. What's the population now with the giving and taking that's gone on?
Yeah, so right now we have GPS collars on some of the wolves. And as you can imagine, you know, if everybody's wearing a GPS watch now and it takes the wear and tear of life and may or may not go past a year, well, you can imagine putting a GPS collar on a wolf and a wolf's life in terms of how they live. And some of our collars have basically failed. And so we use other means of monitoring the population, either through picking up scat and getting genetics or through remote cameras. And so right now we think we have we have 12 and we may have as many as 14 adult wolves and then an unknown number of pups in two packs.
Terry emailed to ask how you will keep the genetic diversity in the wolves going forward.
Yeah. So during our planning process, the decision was a balance between putting wolves in and also maintaining wilderness values associated with, you know, trying not to be heavy-handed in the management of the park, but also recognizing that the ecosystem is changing and wanting to be responsive to that. And so we set ourselves a project window of up to 5 years to be able to start the genetics off on the right foot, and we'll respond to how the wolves do on the island within that period. But then we're going to step back and let things play out. That is the way we laid things out in our plan and in our conversation with the public. The life of the plan is 20 years, and so it can be reevaluated at that time as to whether or not the Park Service will want to move forward with additional translocations or let things be. Wolves arrived on Isle Royale in 1948, and there has been some limited exchange with the mainland because of ice, you know, crossings across the ice bridges. And so, and they went on quite well for 60 years. So we're hoping this initial effort of 20 to 30 wolves will get us several decades.
Okay.
But one never knows, and I would hate to make predictions. Yeah.
Lisa in Baraboo has a question. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I was wondering about parvo and distemper. I remember something vaguely about in the late 80s and 90s, the population was brought low because of those dog-borne diseases, and I was wondering if they were still a concern.
Oh, great question. Definitely they are still a concern, and in our planning efforts for translocation of wolves, we did a disease risk analysis with our partners and professionals within the region who are managing wolves. And, you know, those things came right to the top of our list, among other things. You know, the caller references the canine parvovirus in the early 80s. That definitely had an impact on the population. Canine parvovirus at that time mutated and had impacts worldwide to canines everywhere, and particularly that canine parvovirus is hard on pups. After they wean and to the age of 6 months, they're extremely susceptible. So that had an impact on recruitment at Isle Royale for, you know, several years until the population basically developed immunity to it and was no longer naive to the disease.
Hmm. Lisa, thank you. Sadiq and Franklin, your turn. Hi.
Yeah, so the question I have is regarding, like, the other islands around Isle Royale. Is there a possibility for the wildlife to move between those smaller islands and the big Isle Royale island?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question, and movement does happen. And to me, one of the most surprising outcomes out of this endeavor has been how much swimming that wolves do. They really visit the islands way more than I had ever imagined. In addition, we know that moose have had basically used islands as wolf shields, meaning when it's time for them to calf or they have small calves, they'll often go to offshore islands because they know there's less likelihood of bumping into a wolf. And just for the first time in my 24 years on Isle Royale, I saw a fox swimming out to one of the smaller islands. So it does happen, I'm sure, way more frequently than we have the ability to observe. But, yeah, it certainly happens.
Oh, man. So you're going to be working on this for a long time yet, aren't you, Mark?
Well, provided I'm still able to sit up and take nourishment, yeah.
And
it's a big project, and we have a lot of partners, and the partners are really making this successful and working with the Park Service, and we've garnered a lot of research interest, and our hope is that we can really take a good look at how wolves are affecting this system in all aspects, and not just focus on the wolves and moose themselves. So, it's a big project, and I'm super grateful to all our partners.
Mark, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was really a lot of fun to hear you and to learn more about Isle Royale and the wolves and the moose, among other things. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and again, it's my honor. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Our guest today, Mark Romanowski, U.S. National Park Service biologist. He's also Chief Natural Resources Manager for the Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior. Really fun talking with him. From time to time, we'll get him back, I think, and do it again. Tomorrow, John Freiberger's back to talk about condensation and take your home improvement questions. That's at 11 tomorrow on the Ideas Network. But you know what? There's lots more in store right through the afternoon, so you stay with us. I'm Larry Mailer for the Ideas Network.